It's a real joy this morning to welcome William. He's coming to speak to us. William Wade is lead senior pastor at Life Church in Cuffley. And you've been with us once before, haven't you? Come on up, come join. Let's give him a Christchurch welcome, shall we? Yeah, it was a joy last time, and it'll be a joy this time. So thank you so much for coming. He's already spoken once over at our Parkway site, so shall I pray for you? Let's do that. Yeah, Father, we thank you so much for William. Father, we thank you for your calling on his life, and we pray right now that you would fill him. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill him, we pray. Lord, you've been working through him with your word, and we pray that you would now use that, that we would hear from you this morning, that because of what he says through you, our hearts would be changed. Help us to listen and to hear your voice this morning and to come before you. Equip him, strengthen him, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Lovely to see you all. It's lovely to be here. People tell me I have an accent, but I don't believe them. All of you have an accent. But I don't. Lovely 60-year-old Andrew, who is still running like an athlete. If you know anything about running, he can run. So for a 60-year-old, he's doing great. He gave me the portion to look at today. And so I'm going to read these verses, and then we'll take a look at the story of Zacchaeus. So it's from Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. It says this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I don't know what crosses your mind whenever you hear about someone like Zacchaeus, but I can tell you he is a nasty little man. He is just a really nasty piece of work, because he is turning his back on his own people, and he is taking taxes off them in order to give them to the foreign occupying power. And the Romans, for the large part, kind of left those in Israel to do what they wanted to do. But if anyone ever stepped out of line, they would bring the hammer down very, very quickly, swiftly, and in a very, very tough way. And so Zacchaeus was, in a sense, being a turncoat, going from his people and being obedient to their people. And as he was doing that, his own people began to hate him. In fact, it went beyond that. They despised him. Because not only was Zacchaeus doing that for the Romans, he was also skimming some money off the top. To the point where, I mean, this translation says he was wealthy. Other translations say he was very wealthy. So he was just living off the back of being a nasty little man. And he probably had small man syndrome, if you don't know what that is. Sometimes, when men in particular are a little bit, not every small man, but sometimes men in particular were a little bit short of stature, they overcompensated by being in a position of power, and they would abuse that power, and they would take authority to a whole new level in order to exert something of their manliness. And so I think Zacchaeus is one of those nasty little men who is just exerting his power for the Romans in order to harm his own people, really. And so when Jesus comes along, this is wonderful, Because Jesus at that point is being known as a prophet. Some have made the transition over into believing that he could possibly be the Son of God. But most people generally thought he was a prophet, and so they're following him. There's a crowd with him. They're following him. They come to the sycamore tree. Jesus stops. I'm not even sure if anyone else noticed Zacchaeus, but Jesus did. And he stops, and he calls him down from the tree. And I'm sure every person there is rubbing their hands and thinking, this is brilliant. Jesus the prophet, because prophets, remember, were notorious for calling sins out of people. And so Jesus the prophet calls Zacchaeus down from the tree, and everyone is like, yes, this is poetic justice. Not just is Zacchaeus going to get it from Jesus, not just is he going to get his justice, but it's public. That makes it so much better. Everyone's going to see it. And so Zacchaeus comes down, and of course Jesus doesn't do that. He says, actually, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house today. And culturally speaking, what he was saying was, Zacchaeus, I want to eat with you, and I want to be your friend, and I want you to be my friend. And they lose their minds, because it's like, this was not part of the script. This was not supposed to happen. You're meant to be calling him out for everything he's been doing. And so they start to say things like, this prophet, so-called prophet, is going to eat in the house of a sinner. This doesn't add up. Does he even know who Zacchaeus is? And I'm sure the conversations would have went further. Is he even really a prophet? Certainly not the Son of God. And it's kind of like, I don't know if you know the story, but there's another story where Jesus goes into the house of someone called Simon, and he's a Pharisee, really religious, really holy, really righteous. And they're all talking about lofty ideas. They're all talking about the Word of God, all talking about theology. It's all very civilized. And then a woman comes in. And as she comes in, she goes straight over to Jesus, starts to weep, washes his feet with her hair, and starts to dry, washes his feet with her tears, and starts to dry his feet with her hair. And everybody gets awkward. Everybody feels embarrassed. Everybody thinks, does he not know who that is? Has he got no idea, so-called prophet, what she does? And Jesus, knowing all things, knew what they were thinking and said, actually, this doesn't bother me. I came into your house. You're very civilized. You're very theological. You're very righteous house. And none of you have treated me like she has. And he exposed the hypocrisy of what was going on. And I think Jesus did that when he spoke to Zacchaeus and said, in front of everybody, I'm not here to condemn you, Zacchaeus. In fact, I want to get close. I know your life's messy, but we can deal with that. And everyone else's hypocrisy was exposed because they didn't like it. Listen, this might not be you, but I know a lot of us have people that we would love to see Jesus bless. But if we're really honest, we've got people that we wouldn't like to see Jesus blessed. They didn't want Zacchaeus blessed. About 3 years ago, we started to have an influx into Life Church in Cuffley of those from a recovery background. And so they're recovering from addiction, of different types of addiction, largely drink and drugs. And as they started coming in, it changed the dynamic of who we are. And so it got a little bit messy because some of them were coming in and they had already been clean and sober at different meetings, and they'd been working their program, 12-step program, really well. They'd been clean and sober for like 10, 15 years, but they were wanting something more, and they found a little bit of a home in Life Church in Cuffley. And that was wonderful, but we also had those that were coming in that were maybe 10 days clean, and their language was colorful, and they didn't really know what to do in church and how to be around church people. And sometimes, if you ever come to Life Church, which I'm telling you not to because you're going to be faithful here, sometimes on a Sunday you have to walk through almost like a cloud of smoke to get into the building. And I don't know what you think about that, but we think it's wonderful. Because some of them coming in are only clean that weekend. They've been on a bender for 3 or 4 days and they don't know where to go, but they know some of their friends are coming to church and they come along. And again, you know, half of those that are in addiction probably have ADHD as well. And they can't sit for very long, and they're up and down to the toilet, and they're up and down getting water, and it's all right. But when they first started coming in, we had a little group of people in the church that had been at the church for a long time, and they got a little uneasy at that. Got a little uneasy at people coming in from that kind of background. And it was an issue. And I'll tell you exactly what a couple of them said. They said, the reason we don't like them coming in here is because they bring demons in here. And so they'd been at the church for a long time, long-standing members, and so we had a decision to make. Were we going to be safe? And we could have been. Or are we going to be messy? Now, when I say messy, Lorraine's been at the church. Others may have been at the church. We still have order. You know, no one does anything crazy. But we had a decision to make, and it was a pivotal moment in the life of our church. And we decided that anybody is welcome. And we'll deal with the mess. And we'll deal with whatever they bring in. And needless to say, those that didn't really find that appealing moved on to other churches. We didn't fall in. They just said it's no longer a place for us, and that was okay. Didn't cause a split or anything like that. But over the last 3-4 years, we've seen about 50 of them get baptized. And I think all we had to do was just go with where we thought Jesus was leading us. And I guess it's lovely that you're going through Walking Well as a series, because I want to put it to you that walking well is walking like Jesus, following Jesus, and he's going to take you into some messy places. He's going to take you into the living room. He's going to take you into a lady at a well whose life is an absolute car crash, who's had 5 husbands, and she's living with someone. So this is, functionally speaking, she's all over the place. And Jesus goes out of his way to meet with her. And when he does, he just makes a note. I know you've got 5 husbands. I know that the person you're living with now isn't your husband. And so I know all that. But let me talk to you about worship. I mean, it's almost like he completely sidesteps that. Sidesteps the mess of everything she's living in and says, if you can just get aligned with the God of heaven, that's where the healing starts. We don't need you to get cleaned up before coming to God. That's his job. And so what does living messy look like? I think one of the things that we had to learn was that those people that live around our church building really don't care about what we believe. They just don't. They don't care if we're cessationist or whether we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe our views on women in ministry. They don't care how we do communion, whether it's with the little cups or whether it's with the chalice. They couldn't care less. They have no interest. Do you know what they care about? If they walk into the doors, will someone give them a welcome? That's what they care about. And I'll tell you what they care about even more than that, is if they can walk in the doors and get a welcome and somehow link with someone that's been through or is going through what they're going through. The difficulty we have as churches is that we are so good at not owning our stuff. It was Ernest Hemingway that said, we're strong in the broken places. And if you have a testimony of anything that's been broken in your life, or even if you're still going through it, God can use that in such a powerful way, because the messy people that are out there don't want to see your perfect life. They don't want to see my perfect life. They want to see where they can connect with us. They want to see who of us has had the diagnosis that they are living with. They want to see who of us has gone through the recovery that they need to go through. They want to see who of us has had the marriage breakdown that they are going through. They want to see who of us is going through the background of difficulty with the police that they have. They want to go and spend time with someone who's just like them. And could I remind us, and you know this already, I know, but we're just like them. And they're just like us. The only difference is Jesus. And so what is it going to look like to live a messy life? Well, I tell you what it's not going to look like. Where I come from, in Belfast, there's a very famous road, and every Saturday there's a group of Christians, and they try to be a witness, and their courage is incredible. And they for years, have stood on this particular corner of a street, and they sing songs, good songs, and they share testimonies, relevant testimonies, and they do a decent job. And people, on a Saturday, it's busy. People walking up and down the road hear some of that, and they're hoping that some little seed is planted. They're hoping that someone might have a conversation. They're hoping that someone might come to church and give their life to Jesus. But a few years ago, they decided to redevelop the road, and a large part of the road was redeveloped. And where they stand on the road was redeveloped. And so for a few weeks, they couldn't be there. But when the redevelopment was finished, they came back, and they noticed that where they stood, there was a hedge put up just around where they stood, 8 foot high. And you are not going to believe what I'm just about to tell you. They decided that because of safety, because they had always done it that way, because that was their tradition, they stood in the exact same place they used to, behind the hedge. And they sang their songs, and they shared their testimonies. And people up and down the road, you know, most of them would have known them, but some that maybe hadn't known them would be thinking, what on earth is that behind a hedge? And we can be so very good at that sometimes, where we stand on one side of a road and we shout over to the other, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to change your life. Jesus can give you joy. Jesus can forgive you. But it's safe from this side of the road. It takes a little bit more courage to cross over and to actually get close. But that's exactly what Jesus would do. There was no greater preacher than Jesus. No one came close. And so if he wanted to sell out auditoriums all over the place, he could have done it. But you see him in the house of Zacchaeus. You see him at a well with a woman. You see him going from place to place at nighttime, in the dark, in the secret with Nicodemus, who wanted to really find out what Jesus was all about. He wants to get close. So what might that look like? I was a soldier in the British Army, and then I became part of a chaplaincy team in the British Army, and we were based in Germany for a long time. And a friend of mine who's a chaplain was coming back from England. He was on leave, coming back to Germany, and he was going via the tunnel. And the last filling station before the tunnel, if you've ever done it, it's always busy. No matter nighttime, morning, middle of the morning, it's always busy. He was coming back, called in to get petrol, and the place was busy again. There's a long queue. He realizes that there's a girl behind the kiosk, and she is just being incredibly rude to everybody. And so he's patiently going forward in the queue, and to everyone, she's grabbing their stuff, slamming it down, rolling her eyes at them, and she's only young. And so he eventually gets there, and whenever he gets there, bear in mind, there's a queue behind him, and they all want to get somewhere. They're all waiting. Everybody needs to get to the tunnel, and she serves him. She takes his stuff, because he got some snacks, and just slammed it down on the kiosk counter. And he said to her, "Where would you rather be?" And she was rude in her response. And he said, "Really? You don't want to be here. Where would you rather be?" And it stopped her in her tracks. And she said, "Actually, a few months ago, I got into university, and I went to university, but very quickly I got homesick. And I think I made a mistake, because I came home and now I'm stuck in this job and I don't want to be here." And he asked her what she wanted to do, and she told him, really what she told him was the dream of her life. Everybody's still getting impatient. But sometimes life's messy. And he said, "Listen, I'm a minister, I'm a chaplain, I'm going to go because you've got to serve all these other people. But I just want you to know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray. Your life is not over. You're not stuck here. You're still young. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Reapply for the university. Go next year. Take this as a learning year. Go back. Follow your dream. Do that. And I'm going to pray that that happens. Is that okay?" And of course, he was over the moon with that. And we get opportunities like that all the time. We do. It's just that he took it. And he had every right to say, "Do you know what? She's not interested. These people need to get to the tunnel." But he did what I think Jesus would have done. He was interested in her. Came close. We have a lady that came to the church. I'm just winding down now, but we have a lady that came to the church to see her friend get baptized. And this lady called Laura wasn't interested in God at all. Part of a recovery group, but just really not interested. She had a different higher power. She didn't need God. Came into a service, and God just gripped her that first service. And so she started coming to the church, and she started getting interested in Jesus, and she gave her life to Jesus. And she went onto an online Bible study, and the guy who ran the Bible study knew her and said, "Laura, you're still living with your partner. You can't be on this Bible study." And you can imagine it absolutely wrecked her. And I remember she came back to church the next week and said, "Is it okay for me to still come to church? I'm still living with my partner. We've been together for 5 years. We've got 2 kids. You know, should we split? If we do, one of us is going to go into debt because we can't rent anywhere around here." And it's like, of course you can still come to church. Of course you can. So she starts getting even closer to Jesus, gets baptized. Her 2 grown-up daughters start coming to church because they see a difference in her life. They get baptized. Her partner comes every now and again, really doesn't like Jesus, but supports her, decides to propose to her. They get married last December, and just a few months ago, he gets baptized. And that could have been cut off months ago by a flippant comment on a Bible study. And I'm guessing I don't mean to be harsh with this, but I'm guessing that the guy who wanted her off the Bible study could have stood around Jesus that day and said, "Don't bless Zacchaeus. His life's messy. He's a sinner." And I'm not saying anything goes. I'm not saying that. But But I am saying Jesus comes close to people whose lives are in a mess. And so let me finish with this. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every single one of us, maybe you're doing it already, forgive me if you are, but if every single one of us really meant it, if we said, Jesus, I do want to walk well. I do want to walk with you. I know that that means my shoes are going to get dirty. I know that. But I don't want to go in the safe lane. I want to go in the messy lane. And if that means I need to stop in a queue in a busy filling station, I'll do it. And people can call me anything. Because it's something that you would do. If it means that I can accept someone coming in here whose life is all over the place, but they're getting closer to Jesus, we can deal with that. Because God, I know you can deal with that. If it means I'm the one to talk to the nasty guy at work and show him some compassion, I'll be made to look like a fool, but I'll do it. Because I think that's what you would do, Jesus. If it means you're the one to somehow bring reconciliation to your family, when you've got every right not to, then maybe that's where the mess is. Could you imagine if here, if at Life Church where I'm from, we had a complete culture of just willing to get messy for Jesus? What would happen? You wouldn't have a boring Christianity, I can tell you that. It wouldn't be boring. I'll leave that as a challenge, but let me finish with this. We talk about those people out there, but what about us in here? One of the things that we have decided to do at Life Church is we don't want to leave stuff at the door. There's every reason that we could do. You know, where you come in on a Sunday and you say, all the fears, all the mess, all the trials, all the difficulty I'm going through, I'm going to leave it at the door. I'm going to come in. I'm just going to worship God, leave that outside, worship God, and then hopefully get stronger in order to deal with all of that. There is wisdom in that. But we decided, let's build a culture in our church that says, bring it in. Bring the mess in. Bring the brokenness in. Bring my life that's not all together in, because God's not offended with it. So that as we're worshiping, we can say, God, could you take this addiction? As we're listening to someone speak, we can say, yeah, that resonates with me. So God, can you have that? Bring it in. And maybe there are some of us here today, and you can say, it's okay talking about the mess that's out there, but I'm telling you, William, my life's a mess. And one of our difficulties on a Sunday is we all smile and we all look good and we're all in the zone, but our lives could be falling apart. And if we're brutally honest, every single one of you and me, we have all got stuff. We have all got stuff that we're dealing with. And so if that's you, I just want to encourage you today that Jesus isn't standing on the other side of the road. He's not throwing stones at you. He's not condemning you. Rather, he wants to come close. In fact, he wants to go home with you, right into the mess. And it may not be an instant transformation like it was for Zacchaeus, but if you can say, Jesus, yes, I'll go into the mess of other people's lives, but can you come into the mess of mine? He will. He's not afraid of it. And he'll transform it so that you can have a testimony for others that are in a mess. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything that you're taking this church through. Thank you for the leadership of Andrew and Lorraine, for all the other leaders in this church and how they're building your kingdom here. And we cheer them on. we absolutely cheer them on. And God, would you do everything you need to do in order to keep this church flourishing and working and being blessed and having favor. And I do ask you, God, that this week as we go out into the world, that you would help us to spot those little opportunities where we can maybe just stop for a moment and be a blessing to someone. Even though it may look messy, help us to be the carriers of your hope and your mercy and your justice and your goodness and kindness. And Father, for those especially who may be finding today really difficult, really tricky, and they're here, and they're worshiping, and they're doing everything they can do to hold everything together, but there's a bit of a mess, thank you that you come close. Thank you that you embrace. And thank you that you help bring us up out of the ditch again so that we can be a message of hope for other people. Bless this church, I pray. In Jesus' name.